welcome to episode 479 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Gunther, and this is the show that puts you in control of your favorite movies, music, shows, and games. Josh, I missed another week.
You did.
Good you reasons, did. That's okay, though. Good reasons. Yeah. South by Southwest. Yeah.
Super jealous. Super jealous, as usual. You know what I just realized about this episode? Hmm. We are 21 episodes away from 500.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, yeah, yeah.
And 21 is my favorite number.
Okay.
I think that means good things for this episode.
That's a little bit of a stretch there, but okay. I kind of thought it was going to be more profound than that. That no. means our 500th episode will be on Halloween or something like that.
No, it's like August or something. It's sooner than that.
Not the way we skip episodes.
We have not we. Just because you missed last week doesn't mean a show
Whoa. Oh, okay. We don't have to go down that road right now. Anyway, we have some feedback this week, and it was actually more of a question that we really don't have an answer to, but we're going to read it anyway because we want some of our listeners' advice on this. Let's get the community together to help out Henry. Henry says, I was curious if you two know of alternatives to Rabbit, that's RABB.IT, which allows you to share a movie with a friend and watch it at the same time. You know, I had never heard of this service. And B, this reminds me of what you used to be able to do on the Xbox.
Yeah, that was back on the Xbox 360, wasn't it?
I believe so.
I think so. I also think that was only with the Netflix app, but I'm not positive on that one. Mm. Yeah, this does look very similar. I opened up the Google Play Store on my Android phone to check this out, and it looks like this app works by allowing you to sign in and watch streaming shows like through Amazon or Hulu or Netflix or something like that with other people and basically syncing up your stream so that you're both watching at the same location within the stream, which sounds exactly like how the Netflix watch together thing, whatever it used to be called, worked. And I still hear people saying, I wish they'd bring that feature back.
Yep.
But I don't see that happening. This feature sounds cool, especially the ability to use lots of different apps, not just Netflix. But if you look at least on the Google Play side, all of the recent reviews basically go like this. They broke everything in the most recent app. This app used to be cool and now it's not. And I'm guessing that's why Henry sent us this message.
That could be it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we don't have an answer. So let's see if anybody out there in our listening community does have an answer. And usually this goes pretty well. Usually we get some feedback and help for people. So let's see what we can find out here.
You know, I actually did just think of something off the top of my head. There was a plugin for Plex that we talked about on this show a while ago. I think we talked about it on here. I know I've read about it. I don't remember what it was called, but it allowed people to sync up things through Plex. And maybe that's not exactly what you're looking for, because if you're looking for something on Hulu or something like that, then that's not going to work. But if you just want to watch a movie that you already have in Plex, then that could be a really cool solution for you. I just don't remember what that was called off the top of my head.
All right. I don't remember that at all, but that would be a pretty cool feature, I think.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this message came to us through our email inbox at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. And you can send us your feedback or questions to that address or just to the working contact form on our website.
Thank you, Richard, for fixing the previously broken contact form.
Thank you for fixing the contact page that you broke.
Okay, why don't we move on to a little bit of video news? And when I say we, I really mean you, because you're the one who put this in the notes.
Yeah, and it's not a big deal, really. It's just a nice update. And when I read this headline, my response was, finally. So You may remember that over the past year or so, I've kind of railed on the Hulu 10-foot experience. About a year or two ago, they came out with a whole new update that completely redesigned the Hulu experience, and it made it the same on the web and on your TV and on your mobile device, which made absolutely no sense whatsoever because you use those interfaces differently. And it was a very highly stylized experience where you could only really look through a list of movies with text titles. And when you did that, it would change the background to be like the cover art for that movie or TV show. Really inefficient way of browsing content. And so they are finally starting to roll out an update to people that will change that experience to be a more traditional grid guide for television channels and, I guess, poster matrix, if you will, for TV shows and movies. So it'll be a lot more like, oh, I don't know, you'd expect a video app to work.
Well, especially a live TV app, right?
Well, right. So there's the live TV side that's going to be more grid-like, which is good. You know, not everybody has a grid, and obviously we can't slam Hulu for not having been on top of that, even though some of the other services were starting to introduce grids because their users are basically screaming for it. I don't know why everybody thinks they need to redesign the timeline for linear TV. We have a solution that works. Stop trying to fix it. Just pay the stupid licensing fee to TiVo and use a real grid guide because that's what people know and understand. So that is starting to roll out on Roku, Fire TV, and Apple TV. And then on the video side, you're going to start seeing that on your those same devices, and that is going to show you kind of I think it shows like 6 or 9 panels at a time so that you can scroll through and scan the video by looking at the images quickly and not having to just read text. So good, welcome changes. And, you know, it may not get to everybody all that quickly. They seem to be rolling this out over time, both to users and to the different platforms. So it's probably going to take a while for this to kind of pick up everybody everywhere. But, you may remember a while ago we talked about the Hulu app on the I think it was on Windows, actually, and it was updated to work like the website, which is so much better than these 10-foot experiences. So I'm really glad that they have finally made this change, and I think everyone will have a much better experience as a result of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Well, that's surprisingly all we have for video news, so we're going to transition on to one audio story. It's not like last week where it was audio story after audio story. This is a sad audio story. It is a reminder about more death through groove music and OneDrive and all of that.
Jeez, so, this is like why we don't just do Microsoft news anymore. It's too depressing.
Yeah. Yeah, Microsoft does love killing their consumer media services. So, yeah, in this case, Groove Music is still an app. It's still on Windows 10. I think it's still an app on the mobile platforms, but Okay. But the feature that's dying now is not Groove Music itself, but it's just the ability to stream your own personal library from OneDrive straight to the app. So the way that it worked before, you could upload all of your music to OneDrive in a folder called Music, and it would just automatically show up inside of Groove, and it would stream directly from OneDrive to Groove. Back in 2017, Microsoft killed their own Groove Music Pass subscription service, leaving this OneDrive streaming as the only way to stream music through Groove. And now that's going away. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't listen to your own music library through Groove, of course. You can download all of your music to your local device, and it'll still play, just like you could do with older apps like Windows Media Player or other things like that. But it won't stream anymore. And also, if you've been using it for streaming, it caches a copy of that music on your machine, which makes sense. So it doesn't have to keep downloading it and keep streaming and all of that. It's going to clean up after itself. So maybe that's the one bright spot here. It does clean up after itself. So after 30 days, so at the end of April, Groove will delete all of that cached music from your system. Now, if you've manually downloaded your music, it's not going to delete that. You don't have to worry about that. But if it did make its own cache, that will be gone. So you should at least be getting some hard drive space back if you've actually been using this lately. The other maybe bright spot, but probably not, because I really doubt anybody uses this, is if you are going to keep your music in OneDrive, the OneDrive web player for your music still works. But seriously, who's using that?
So that means you can play your songs one at a time with no ability to create a playlist whatsoever. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, I guess, honestly, I'm not even sure about that, because I haven't used the OneDrive player in forever.
It's just an inline player.
Why would I?
Yeah, it's just an inline player. I mean, it's like a viewer for a viewable file. It plays your audio for you. So this doesn't by any stretch of the imagination take the place of a real music player. I don't understand why they don't just kill this thing. Why the long, slow, torturous death of all of the music players out there to play your own music that you might have on your device? Why would you still want to use Groove?
Well, when you say that, do you mean on Windows 10 or do you mean on mobile devices?
Yes.
I think it still makes sense to include Groove as a music player in Windows 10, because it is still a nice app for listening to your music and stuff. But I don't know why this needs to continue to be a mobile app on other platforms.
So yes, I agree with that. I think that let's get rid of the mobile versions of this for sure. The Windows one, I'm a little bit up on it. Like, I wish they would just make a decision. And I worry that we're going to be someday loading Windows 10.48 on our computers, and it's still going to have a version of Windows Media Player and Groove Music Player installed on the desktop.
Yeah, that's very possible.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's just like figure out what your strategy is for playing media on the desktop and do it. Because right now, it's just a mess. It's a disjointed mess. And just the fact that Media Player is still a thing is ridiculous.
And for anyone who thinks that we're being ridiculous and that they'll definitely kill Media Player by then, I would like to remind you, and I'm confident of this because I just launched it to make sure, WordPad is still in Windows. WordPad.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So probably not going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah.
All right. Should we switch on to some gaming news, Richard?
Well, we should. And, this is apparently the bulk of our news for this episode.
Yeah, well, I had been saying for a couple of weeks that coming soon is GDC, the Game Developers Conference, so expect some big gaming news. And that started today. So there you go. There's a fair amount of stuff to talk about tonight. Really just one big story. And then it'll probably be fairly quiet again until E3, which isn't until June. Okay? Is that okay?
Sure.
All right. So let's get into this. So the biggest news, of course, today is Google officially is entering the real gaming scene. They're not just making it so that you can play games on Android anymore. This is a much bigger, more core gaming announcement. And that is a new platform they're calling Stadia. It's S-T-A-D-I-A, Stadia, which kind of, to me, makes it sound like the plural of stadium, but I don't think that's what, I think that would just be stadiums. but that's kind of what it sounded like to me. So it's called Stadia, and there is one piece of hardware, but it's not a game console. It's just a controller. We'll get to that in a minute. The real bulk of this is, as expected, a game streaming service. We say as expected because last fall, Google, well, I almost said Microsoft there because we talk so much about Microsoft, but no, Google last fall rolled out a beta of a game streaming service, very limited availability, but they allowed people to play Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I think that's the name of the most recent one. Streaming through a web browser. Open up Chrome on pretty much anything. Hook up a game controller or use your keyboard and mouse. And you are playing a brand new AAA game running at high resolution, high frame rate. Looked great. Played great. At least that's what my friends who actually got to try it had said. I didn't get an invite into the beta program. So I don't know for sure, but everyone says overall it worked out pretty well. This is the actual product of that. So that service is now called Stadia. Their goal is to basically bring AAA game streaming to basically everything. So Chrome on your web browser, Chromecast type devices hooked up to your computer, your mobile devices, everything, basically everything. It'll stream in 4K at 60 frames per second if your internet connection can handle it. But I don't think they actually said what sort of internet connection would be required for that. Mm. They definitely didn't say what sort of internet connection would be required when they eventually support 8K, because they announced that too, which is just bonkers.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. There are some interesting new things. Like, this isn't just a game streaming service. Like, that's cool and that's nice, but it's not the only thing here. They have the ability to tie this in to other platforms like YouTube streaming, Twitch streaming, where they could basically just add a play it now button to the end of a video and you could be watching a trailer or maybe someone else playing it, and there's a play button, and within 5 seconds they say you could be playing that game, because it's not like you have to download an 80 gig game. It's just streaming, and that offers some really nice integration. So that's a cool new differentiator. And then the other main new thing to the service itself is a feature called CrowdPlay. This is one I don't fully completely understand how it all works just yet, and I'm sure it's going to be different on a game by game basis. But the idea is, if you're playing a multiplayer game and you're streaming it, like on YouTube or Twitch, other people could essentially get in line to play with you, and they could take turns playing in the same game alongside you. And that's cool.
I think it's really cool. I mean, I think that opens up all kinds of possibilities, maybe even for games that, you know, beyond what we might think of as your typical online gaming experience, right? I mean, because you're talking about, if you're going to wait in line to play with someone, then in theory, you probably want the game to be maybe short rounds of something.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, you could maybe see it be like a fighting game and you're awesome at it and everyone's just taking turns playing against you. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like a virtual arcade.
Yeah.
And that's a cool experience.
Yeah.
So the other thing that they announced alongside of all of this before we get to the controller is they do have their own studio. So it's not just a service. They're planning on making their own games too. And I'm sure it's going to be a long time until they actually have some games since they just announced the creation of the studio today. So unless they've been developing something in secret for a while, it's probably going to be minimum 2 years before they put anything out if they're going for AAA style game. But they've got one of the best names in the industry that they've signed on to lead this studio. The studio is just called Stadia Games and Entertainment, and it's now being led by Jade Raymond. She's phenomenal. She's been known in the industry for years. She's one of the main people behind the Assassin's Creed series. So she's got a proven track record. She knows how to deliver quality games to market. So, and she's not just a businessy type person. She is in there designing, you know, helping to actually produce quality games. She's not just a business person. So I think that actually says a lot. It makes me slightly disappointed because I'm not sure that I see myself being a Stadia customer, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But if these games are only going to be playable on Stadia, then I don't know. We end up with more of those stupid exclusive deals that don't help gamers in any way and are just going to lock out people from playing games. So we'll get into that sort of topic about like who this is for in a little bit. One more announcement to cover here, and that is the hardware that they announced. It's a controller. This was also leaked a few days ago because the patent filing was found on the internet, and it's a controller that looks a whole lot like the PlayStation DualShock controller. So instead of the offset sticks like on an Xbox controller, they're both located down below with the D-pad at the top. So I think that's less comfortable, less good, but whatever. The things that are that really separate this controller from everything else that's out there are it connects via Wi-Fi, not Bluetooth, which also means the battery life is probably going to be not so great. But the reason it's Wi-Fi is it has a couple of extra buttons on it. One of them is a Google Assistant button. So this is like a Google Home device, theoretically, in addition to a game controller. So you can push the Google Assistant device and just bark out commands at it. I think that makes a ton of sense. I think that would be really a nice thing for Microsoft to have done for Cortana on the Xbox. They never did that. Now all I ever hear people talk about with Cortana on the Xbox is complaining. So maybe that's not such a bad thing. I don't know. The other button that is different on this controller is a capture button. This isn't quite so unique. The PlayStation kind of has a button like this, and obviously it's pretty easy to save video or screenshots of your gameplay on the Xbox. The one thing that is kind of cool about the way Stadia is doing it, though, is maybe you're streaming to your phone. So it's going to be streaming at a lower resolution, maybe a lower frame rate, a lot more compression because it's going down to a small device. But you just had some crazy scene. If you record it, it actually records the 4K stream that was being produced on the cloud. So it's the 4K stream before it all got smashed down and compressed and sent down to your phone.
So nice.
I think that's really smart. Yep. I think that's really cool because it's a lot of fun to share those types of videos with friends. And if it was just some tiny little mobile phone video, that's not nearly as fun to share. So I think that's really cool. Now, there's a lot of other important details here, like how much does this service cost? Is it even a service? Like, is this a subscription thing or is it a pay per game sort of thing? We have no idea. They didn't announce any of that stuff. All we know is that this is supposed to be released this year in the United States and Canada and some European countries, basically. That's it. So I have no idea what the business model is.
Let's guess.
This.
Come on, let's guess. What do you think?
It seems like something that would be a subscription service.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds similar to Microsoft xCloud plus Microsoft Game Pass.
Uh-huh.
Or Xbox Game Pass, I guess it's called. And I'm not sure how you price a service like that. I've been trying to figure out what Microsoft is going to price a service like that, because Game Pass costs $10 a month. If the only other thing that we really have to compare any of this to is PlayStation Now, which is their game streaming service, and that's $20 a month. So is a combination of those two things $30 a month? That's getting kind of pricey.
Yeah, it is, but I think that's what they need to hit. I think it needs to be $29.99 or less a month if it's going to be one of these all-inclusive subscription services. What do you think on the controller?
I could see the controller being $80.
Whoa! Really? Come on, this is Google. You think?
With the Google Assistant stuff built in?
I'm going to say $60.
Don't know. $60 is the retail price of an Xbox One controller.
Yep. And I think it's overpriced.
I don't disagree. being someone who has purchased multiples, I don't disagree. But yeah, this kind of has some more technology than an Xbox One controller. And $80 is not unheard of, I believe, to buy what's considered a full controller for the Nintendo Switch. Pretty sure that's $80, and that's for a Nintendo device. So it wouldn't be unprecedented.
Yeah.
I hope it's not that expensive.
I think they need to come in a little bit lower if they want this to pick up.
Yeah. A more reasonable price would be $50. That would make it a lot more palatable. But you also don't need the controller. You could use an Xbox controller or any other Bluetooth controller to make this work. Yeah, you just wouldn't have the Google Assistant or that share button, obviously.
Right.
So
I think this is really, really smart. I love what they're doing with YouTube. I love this CrowdPlay thing. And I mean, this is the company to bring it to you because they have all the pieces, right? They have the cloud service and infrastructure for it. They already have like this whole gaming community on YouTube, and now they can build that even further with actual games that they're making available. I think this is really, really smart.
It is. I'm still not sure that I don't know that I agree with the statement that they have everything. I think Microsoft has everything because Microsoft has the streaming platform plus all the game stuff. They've already got lots of their own game studios. They've got a storefront. They've got a deep history in gaming, you know, almost a 20-year history in console gaming. But Google did impress me with what they announced here today. I do think they're going to be a formidable player here. With that, let's move on to some news about Microsoft's competing service. This was from an interview that Eurogamer did, where they sat down with someone from Microsoft to talk more about what we can expect on the xCloud service. And they didn't give tons of details, but there were a few little nuggets worth pointing out. The first one is latency. That's the really big problem with these game streaming services, right? If there's lots of internet latency, this isn't going to be a good experience on any fast-paced games. Microsoft is saying they're getting less than 10 milliseconds of latency. That's crazy. Absolutely crazy. They said, basically, to give you an idea of how small that is, they get more latency from Android's Bluetooth stack. So there's more latency from your controller talking to your phone than there is the phone talking to Microsoft's streaming servers. That's just nuts.
That's great.
I don't know that anybody's going to be able to touch that. Google's obviously got cloud infrastructure, but it's not in the same tier as Azure. From everything that I've ever read or used or experienced myself, it's not at the same level. And Microsoft is already proving and has been proving for a while that they can do super low latency streaming. We're using it right now inside of Mixer. You know, we're getting sub-second latency on video streaming here. And this is just me running some free software on my PC. Like, I'm not even doing anything difficult here.
Right.
So they've proven they can do it. Now, they're also saying that with their compression algorithms and all that stuff, they're also going to be able to make it work, especially on phones where you're not going to need a crazy high-res image, that they could do this over internet connections in the single digits, like 5 to 6 megabits per second connections. Obviously, if you want a better experience, the faster the connection, the better experience you're going to get. But you don't have to have fiber to make Project X Cloud work. But we don't really know how that compares with Google's Stadia service. And then the other thing that I think kind of leads us into the conversation of who are these services actually for? A lot of people see these services and think, oh, this must mean the death of consoles. Like, if I can stream at such low latency and at such high quality that I can't really tell the difference between the stream and what my console or what my computer is giving me, then why should I keep buying expensive consoles or expensive PCs? And Microsoft is saying that they don't view cloud streaming as an or decision, like streaming or getting a console. They view it as an and. You're going to have your console or your crazy gaming PC at home to have the absolute top tier best experience you could possibly imagine. And then when you're on the go, maybe you're vacationing over the holidays or something like that, or you just want to play a game on your lunch break at work, then you could use the streaming service to pick up right where you left off. And I think that makes a ton of sense. Mm-hmm. But Microsoft is and Google is also looking at this as an opportunity to bring in a lot more gamers who just aren't going to pay for that top tier experience that you'd get from a console or a gaming PC. So it's kind of an or at the same time, right? It's an and for people like me, and it's an or for more casual gamers. So I'm excited about these. I can't wait to hear more about what Microsoft is going to be doing with xCloud. And what I'm really the most interested in finding out is how much is all of this stuff going to cost?
Yep. Hey, another monthly fee. Yay.
I know how much you love those. Well, how about some game streaming without any cost at all? Would that work out? Would you like that better, Richard?
Oh, you know, I like all the game services.
This one actually isn't specific to gaming, although you can use it that way. Microsoft sort of just casually and quietly released an app on the Xbox called the Wireless Display App. Now, for you longtime listeners, you might actually remember there used to be an app called Wireless Display. It was okay. It kind of worked sometimes. So they kind of removed it a long time ago. Now they've brought it back. And the idea is that from a Windows 10 PC, you could hit Windows P, like you're used to using if you ever hook up your laptop to a projector or another TV or something, and it brings up the built-in Windows 10 interface for extending your display or duplicating your display. Well, there's another option in there called Connect to a Wireless Display. And if you're running this Wireless Display app on an Xbox One on the same network, your Xbox One is going to show up when you click the Connect to a Wireless Display option.
Nice. And
this is still using Miracast like it was before, but now it allows you to stream straight to an Xbox from your Windows 10 PC. You could use it for things like streaming your PowerPoint presentations or other boring businessy type stuff. But you can also use this to stream games. At least that's what people have said you can use it for. I tried that tonight, threw this app over on my Xbox One X, opened up Steam on this computer, and launched a game and, you know, did the connection and all this stuff. And it was basically worthless. Like the stream couldn't keep up. Now, if I had had more time, I would have rebooted my computer and stuff like that to make sure there wasn't anything dumb going on or something like that. But this did not work out well for me. But other people are giving this pretty favorable reviews. So maybe it's just a one-off thing for me. I'm going to try and use this again before our next show to see if this would work. Because a long, you know, years ago, when Microsoft rolled out the ability to stream from an Xbox to a PC, a bunch of people were like, at least the common narrative that we heard was, well, that's cool, but what I really want is to be able to stream my PC games on my Xbox so I can play my PC games on my big TV. Well, now we've got it. Who's using it? Because you've been asking for it forever, and a lot of you people were complaining that they did the opposite of what you wanted a few years ago. So are you happy now? Is this what you wanted? Does it work well? Let me know. This isn't something I wanted as much as the opposite. So it's not something I think I'm going to use a ton, but I don't know. It's supposed to be good. So we'll see. I know I've had a couple of friends use it and it worked out fairly well for them. So I'll try it again and hopefully it'll work a little bit better. And frankly, any better at all would be better because it just completely fell on its face when I tried using it.
Now, do you have to actually launch this app that you talked about, or does it launch that for you?
That wasn't something I tested. I just launched the app to make sure because I didn't have a lot of time before we were recording tonight. But ideally, you wouldn't even have to launch the app.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those things that just kind of bugs me that it's packaged as an app. And I understand that that's the framework upon which the Xbox is built. But this seems like it should be more invisible. You should just be able to project to your Xbox and it would take over, kind of the way that it works if you Chromecast or if you use Apple AirPlay. So I'm hoping that's what happens. I'll be curious to hear if you actually have to pre-launch that app yourself. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that's a non-starter. Not that I'm ever going to use this, but that just seems like such a terrible user experience.
It's not ideal, but I don't think it's that big of a deal because that's where you're going to be anyway. Like you're going to end up in front of your Xbox anyway.
Yeah, it's just it seems like an unnecessary step. It's kind of like when I go to play a Blu-ray and it has to load the Blu-ray app. No, you should make that invisible. I shouldn't have to think of this as the Blu-ray app.
But doesn't it do it as soon as you put a movie in?
That it does. It does launch the app when you put the movie in. Yes. They got.
It's not that bad.
Okay, sure.
I mean, I guess you just have to think about it like if you were turning on a standalone Blu-ray player, right?
Yeah,
it's
but
kind of the same thing.
Console is never mind. Anyway.
All right. Last quick story. This one is just that Microsoft, prior to GDC, which is weird because this is the perfect type of announcement to be made at GDC, announced a new software development kit to bring more Xbox Live functionality to iOS and Android games. So there are some mobile games that have like Xbox Live achievements and stuff like that, but all of them are made by Microsoft. They're Microsoft Studios games. This SDK would allow any developer who's making mobile games the ability to use things like achievements, but also gamer score, friends list, clubs, even family settings. So there's a lot of cool functionality there that Microsoft is just making available to people. At least the SDK itself is free. Now, I don't know if some of this stuff has cost for like server usage stuff. I'm really not sure because I'm not a game developer, but the fact that we could see more mobile games, tapping into the excellent Xbox Live services is really only a good thing. And Microsoft, while they didn't announce that it would be available for other players like the Nintendo Switch or Sony PlayStation, they also didn't really rule it out. Like, there's no way we're ever going to see this stuff on PlayStation because it's Sony. But we have seen Nintendo and Microsoft working closer together on crossplay and things like that. So I wouldn't rule out seeing some Nintendo Switch games with Xbox Live services baked in. And Nintendo is absolutely terrible at anything concerning online features in game consoles. So this would be a very welcome upgrade from pretty much all Switch fans. I think they would all welcome this. So the sooner the better for a Nintendo Switch port on all of this stuff.
Cool.
All right, it's the second half of the month, so real quick, just a real quick reminder on your free Xbox games. Now that it's the second half of March, you can get Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare 2 for free on Xbox One if you have Xbox Live Gold. And for the rest of the month on 360, you can get Metal Gear Rising Revengeance. And that's, of course, backwards compatible and playable on the Xbox One. So that's it for your gaming stuff. That's it for your free games. That's it for all of our news. Richard, what is going on in your entertainment center?
Yeah, so my TiVo, I've been playing with my TiVo, trying to, you know, trying to get it more interconnected with the stuff in my house. So I tried hooking it up with the Amazon skill, and that isn't working for some reason. It works on the TiVo Mini that I have running in the kitchen. It used to work with my old TiVo, but it is not working with the new TiVo Bolt that we have. So I don't know what's going on there. I need to troubleshoot that a little bit more. I am also having troubles pairing.
One sec. Yeah, what is this Amazon skill?
So it is possible to control your TiVo using your Echo. You can just, and it's native. It's implemented as a native video skill with the Echo. So you can just say pause, and it, if a TiVo is playing in the room connected to that Echo, it will pause your TiVo.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. It's really slick.
Yeah.
And you can do things like skip commercials or go to a specific channel, and it's very, very slick. It's a little bit slow, but I find it kind of magical when it works. So now I just need to get it to work on this new box. Now, the other thing I'm having some problems with is the TiVo remote that we have with this is that voice remote. And I've wanted to use that, but I cannot get it to pair properly with the TiVo itself. And I don't know why. I don't know what's going on. So I need to troubleshoot that a little bit more too. I did successfully hook up the IFTTT skill. And if you remember, what was really cool about the IFTTT skill is that you can have the cloud auto skip your commercials for you if you tell IFTTT that when there's a skip mark, then send a skip command to your TiVo through IFTTT.
That is super cool.
It is really, really cool. Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of convoluted that it has to go through the cloud, but it's really, really cool.
And so, is that working for you?
I haven't had a chance to test it yet because I haven't recorded any content yet on this device.
Is it automatically recording stuff for you? Because mine is.
I turned that off.
Okay.
I turned that off immediately.
Okay.
Yeah. You don't want a TiVo that doesn't know you at all to just start assuming what you want to watch. That's not going to go well.
There's a lot of junk on there.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't like that feature. Anyway, I hope to test that this week and I'll report back and let you know how that is working because I think that's really cool. You can also do stuff like, you know, with IFTTT, if your doorbell rings, then you could pause the TiVo. Or if your Domino's pizza that you ordered just went out for delivery. You can throw up a message to say so. It's really cool stuff. So I think there's a lot of fun opportunity here that I'm looking forward to playing with. Now, you may remember that my Drobo is dead, and I decided to put in a support request to Drobo to see if they had any way of helping me before I abandon Drobo as a platform. And after attempting to help me troubleshoot the problem and telling me that they would offer me a discount on a new device that I was not interested in, they offered to replace my Drobo.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. Now, here's my problem. My Drobo, I have opened the case and modded my Drobo.
Right.
And I haven't told them that yet.
Oh.
So I have a funny feeling I may not be eligible for what they're offering.
Right.
But I was amazed by that. I was absolutely amazed. So we'll see what happens there. I'll let them know. We'll see if they can help me out or not. And I'll just tell them, you know, I had to replace a bum fan. And so, you know, what was I going to do? Throw it away? No, I wanted to extend its life a little bit. So, okay. Anyway, we'll see what happens there. As far as content, I have been watching a bunch of stuff. So has Edward, apparently, when I went away to South By. Well, we now have two copies of the new Fantastic Beasts movie. One that he purchased through a digital store, I think probably through iTunes, and the one that actually came on disc 3 days later.
Oh, jeez. I was going to say, if you already had it on disc, why wasn't it showing it up in your digital library?
So these windows are really starting to piss me off because, you know damn well that the reason they sell it for 3 days before they put it out on disc is to try and get you to buy a digital copy.
Right.
Well, that worked in this case, even though I had pre-ordered the disc months in advance, because, you know, not everybody in the household is going to know what's been pre-ordered, right? So, yeah.
You know the worst thing about this?
Hmm.
You bought two copies of a crappy movie.
Well, that's your opinion.
It's even Jen's opinion, and she loves Harry Potter.
Okay, well, I haven't seen it yet, so I will reserve any sort of, you know, comment until I get to see it. Now, I have been watching lots of TV. I started season 7, the last available season of Game of Thrones, as we run our marathon or sprint or whatever this is now to the start of season 8 in a month's time. So looking forward to plowing through that over the next couple of weeks as we record episodes of Let's Talk About Thrones. Also watched some episodes of Shameless and This Is Us. I finished The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Really enjoyed that season. I think they did a very good job with the final season of that. And with that finished, I am going back to Arrested Development now, trying to plow through the remainder of the last season that's available on Netflix. And I really should say kind of trudge through. That would probably be a better way of putting it, because it's just not anywhere near as good as that show should be. Also watching Superstore, Modern Family, Grace and Frankie. Started watching old episodes of a newer show, not new show, but newer show on Fox called The Cool Kids. I don't know if you know anything about it. It is basically a sitcom with some guys that are, or some people that are living in a retirement home. And it's like a bunch of older adults who don't behave well for living in a retirement home. And it's kind of funny. It includes Vicki Lawrence as one of the primary cast members, which is just kind of like a throwback to anybody my age who watched Carol Burnett and the shows that Vicki Lawrence had kind of after that had gone away. Also, more episodes of Last Week Tonight, and I started the UK version of The Office, because that is the new catalog title that they're watching on Spoiler in Time now. So I know I have said that I don't want to watch shows with Spoiler in Time, but I mean, how much spoiling can you do for the future of The Office, right? Like, are they really going to pontificate over, well, I think what's really going to happen is that they're going to end up selling The Office. I mean, no, that's not going to happen.
Right.
So unlike some long story to story episodic thing, I think this is something that is probably better suited to kind of listening along as they're talking about it. Also started The Case Against Anand Saeed, which is the HBO documentary, a 4-part documentary that follows up on the work that Sarah Koenig did on Serial, and then the lawyers on Undisclosed did, and the work that they have kind of uncovered ultimately led up to Adnan Syed granting for a new trial approved. Unfortunately, literally within 48 hours before this series premiered on HBO, the Maryland State's Attorney, or sorry, the Maryland Appeals Court denied the new trial.
Yeah.
Almost as if they know something's going to come out.
That's an interesting conspiracy theory.
I don't know. I live in Maryland, and I am so frustrated by the bureaucracy and the digging of their feet in on this case when there's so much reasonable doubt here. It's crazy, absolutely crazy. So anyway, I think they're doing an okay job. I understand why people are a little frustrated with it. It's kind of slow. I'm very interested in the story, though, so I like the details. And heck, I listened to all of Serial and then 22 episodes of Undisclosed. So I'm certainly interested in getting as much new perspective on it as I can. Also watched the movie The Favorite, one of the Oscar nominees, and it also won Best Actress. Olivia, I can't remember her name. She's going to be playing the Queen in The Crown next season on Netflix. And she plays in this Queen Anne in a movie that was nothing like I expected, nothing at all. It was funny. It was shocking. It was kind of visually beautiful. It is definitely not for family consumption, but they throw out lots of words that you don't want the family hearing, but it was very, very good movie with a very weird ending. And finally, I watched the HBO documentary, all 4 hours of basically like destroying my childhood memories of Michael Jackson by watching Leaving Neverland. This was unbelievable. And it basically tells the story that we all denied for years and years and years and years and years. And I can't, the two guys that they interview in this did this for no pay whatsoever. They did not get compensated for all of the work that they did to be in this movie. 4 hours of edited footage for this movie. It is stunning and shocking, and wow. If you don't ever want to listen to Michael Jackson music again, you should absolutely watch this documentary.
Okay.
So that is what I have been up to.
Way to go out on a high note there. Jeez.
Yeah. I mean, I tweeted the other day, I was in a real funk on Monday because I hurt for these guys. Like, I just couldn't, like, this is when, like, if you learn that people you know were kind of caught up in the whole, like, priest abuse thing or abuse from the church. And it tears your heart out. And if it's real, it's inexcusable that anybody that knows has been covering this up.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, I'm going to take things in a much more lighthearted note. I haven't watched anything new since the last time we talked. Obviously, a little bit of hockey here and there. A couple of shows here and there. Eden, my oldest daughter, has been watching America's Funniest Videos on the TiVo. She now loves that show. I was messing around with the TiVo the other night and saw that one of the things that it had recorded was The Voice. That was on at the time. And so I watched a little bit of The Voice. I wouldn't normally watch that show, but it ended up being a pretty amazing singer.
It's actually not a bad show.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
I just don't watch it.
Yeah, I just don't really watch that kind of show. But yeah, it was the one singer I saw was amazing. So if the rest of them are anywhere near that good, I'm sure it's a pretty good show. The rest of my time on my actual TV has been playing The Division 2. I took the day off last Friday from work so that I could stay home and play The Division 2.
I had forgotten about that.
It was great. It was so great. Pretty much everything went smoothly. The only issue, which, you know, there's some risk when you're like, yeah, I'm going to take a day off work to play an online game the day that it launches. Like, there's risk there because the servers could go down. You know, that's happened a lot.
Yeah, it could be a disaster.
Right. But I have a hard time calling it disaster. I'm still not at work, right? It's still a day off. Even if I can't play that game, it's still a day that I'm not at work. And I love my job, but it's a day doing whatever I want. So it went almost flawlessly. The only thing, late in the morning, they said that there was going to be some server maintenance in 30 minutes. That message came at 11:30 a.m. Sweet. We're going to take lunch in 30 minutes, guys. And it was basically just a server reboot, and we were back at it. So the game is great. The game is absolutely phenomenal. Games like Destiny and Anthem could learn so much from what Ubisoft is doing with The Division. They just nail everything with how this type of game as a service should work. It's great. I love it. I just want to keep playing it. But I can't because I've got other things to do. So
because life,
right? Like just yesterday, Joe, who also took the day off with me, my co-host on Story Players, was like, "We need to take another day off to play more of The Division." Yeah, I probably can't quite do that. But so that's it. Other than obviously some NHL as usual for me. And actually a little bit more of Call of Duty Black Ops 4. It's another nice little I need to be done with NHL for a little while, but I'm not ready to be done playing games. So let's play a few matches of Call of Duty. Still love that game. Really, really love that game. It's great. Outside of gaming, we had mentioned a couple weeks ago some new changes to the Pocket Cast app. We specifically were talking about an Amazon voice assistant skill for it. But the new version of the app rolled out to Android and I think iPhone at the same time or maybe a little bit earlier than it was on Android. And it is a drastic overhaul to how the entire app works. And kind of not for the better. Like, there are definitely some things that are nicer about it, but they've made the way that I use the app a little bit more difficult to use. Basically, when I'm the type of podcast listener who lets the app download all of the latest episodes to my phone so I don't have to stream, and it does it every night when I plug it into charge and go to sleep. So the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning is look and see what downloaded and add them to the up next list. Well, it used to be that I could multi-select 5, 6, 7, you know, whatever episodes I wanted all at once and say, add all of these to up next. And you can't do that anymore. And I subscribe to 50 shows. So every day I have multiple episodes that I want to put in my up next. And I have to do it one by one by one. And it's super annoying.
That's crazy.
Now, other than that, I've kind of figured out the new ways that I have to use the app, and it's really not that bad. But it did take a lot of fiddling around with it to figure out how to use it. And I could go into those details, but podcast apps, everyone uses them differently. So me talking about the changes I've made and how I use it may not be all that relevant to a lot of our listeners, even if you're a Pocket Cast user. So if you're a Pocket Cast user who's paid for it, you don't really want to give it up, you don't want to look for new apps, I would say sit down with the app for 20, 30 minutes. It might take you that long, and just keep fiddling with it and spend some time in the filters section. And hopefully you're going to figure out how to use it in a way that doesn't suck, because switching apps kind of sucks more.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's my hands-on with Pocket Cast. I think I'm okay. I think I'm at peace with Pocket Cast newest version now. It's mostly okay, I guess.
Yikes.
One of the best reviews I've ever given anything. Mostly okay, I guess.
Yep. All right. Well, if that's it, then we have one more thing to cover before we're out of here. And that's just a reminder that we're in the last days, maybe hours, maybe it's too late, depending on when you're listening to this, to participate in the contest to win a 9-product Insteon smart home kit. This is a kit that they have provided for us, and we're giving away through a contest on Home On. And the contest ends at midnight Hawaiian time on Saturday night. That's so that everybody who's eligible gets an opportunity to participate. So this is only for North American products. These are the products that are designed to work on the North American electrical system, and it needs to be shipped in the U.S. But if you're eligible and you're interested, you can get up to 9 chances to win. And please go ahead and check out the link that we'll have in the show notes to participate in that if you're interested. And thank you to the folks at Insteon for making this contest possible for us.
Absolutely. Very generous prize package for sure. All right. Well, if you want to get a hold of us, there's bunches of ways to do that. They're all in the show notes, which you can find over at thedigitalmediazone.com. But Twitter is where we really like to spend our time. Richard is at Richard Gunther. I'm at Josh Pollard. And the website is at DigiMediaZone. We've also got a couple of other podcasts for you. Richard, you do a show called Home On, covering the latest smart home news. What's going on with Home On?
Yeah, the new episode coming this week is the episode that talks about how to move yourself off of Lowe's Iris smart home hub. And my guest on that was none other than Tony Rayner, who's in the chat with us tonight. So this was a great conversation, and you should expect to see that by the end of this week. And that gives you roughly, I don't know, maybe 9 days to migrate off and get to a new system, because at the end of March, Iris is gone.
End of March. Holy crap. That's like less than 2 weeks away.
Yep. Yep. They did. They only announced this initially in like mid-January. It was crazy. They did not give people enough opportunity. So,
yeah.
And you have a show called Story Players.
I do. It's the video game spoiler cast. We like to play story-based video games and then go super in-depth on our experience with them. And we have played through and recorded an episode for Life is Strange 2, episode 2. I'm still working on editing that. So that should hopefully be up this week. Maybe at the same time that you're listening to this. Who knows? Depends on how much time I get to work on it.
And it's going to be like a perfect storm of DMZ podcasts the end of this week.
There's no way this is the both shows are going to land on Thursday. I'm not going to commit to that. That's too much work. But they're going to be real close together, I'm thinking. So that's been another fun game to cover. And if you like any of those types of things that we just talked about, smart home stuff, story-based video games, make sure you subscribe to those shows in iTunes or in Pocket Cast or wherever it is that you get your shows. And then if you really like chatting with us, and maybe you're thinking, I love listening to the show, I wish I could contribute to it more directly, you can by showing up and being a part of the live show. We try to do this live every Tuesday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. We usually tweet when it's going to be happening live with a link to the video stream and the chat room for you to participate while it's all going on. So hopefully we will see you next time, because that's going to do it for episode 479. He's Richard Gunther, and I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.
Goodbye.